QST from W1AW, the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio in Newington, Connecticut. This is the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for February 17, 2016. The ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries E-Letter, which is compiled by Rick Palm, K1CE, in Daytona Beach, Florida. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland, and my audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB, in Laurel, Maryland. In this issue, we have for you new ARRL Red Cross MOU signed, Aries Report Forms Training Webinar, Colorado Exercise Deep Freeze, Ohio Aries Helps in Water Problem, Tips, Public Safety Tools Excellent Resources for Aries, Essay, I Don't Get No Respect, Letters, More Tips for Net Controllers, Model Emergency Communication Plan for a Retirement Community, and Windstorm Damages San Diego Baja Amateur High-Speed Data Facilities. Our first story in this issue is New ARRL Red Cross MOU Signed. The ARRL and the American Red Cross have signed a new Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU. The document, which was signed in January, succeeds the one agreed to in 2010. It will remain in place for the next 5 years. The MOU spells out how the League Amateur Radio Emergency Service, or Aries Volunteers, will interface with the Red Cross in the event that Aries teams are asked by the Red Cross to assist in a disaster or emergency response. It states in part, and I quote, "Whenever there is a disaster requiring the use of amateur radio communications resources and/or facilities, the local Red Cross region or chapter may request the assistance of the local Aries organization responsible for the jurisdiction of the scene of the disaster." Close quote. Such assistance would include mobilization of Aries personnel in accordance with a prearranged plan and the establishment of communication as necessary during a disaster or emergency. The agreement also says, and again I quote, "Both ARRL volunteers and the American Red Cross workers will work cooperatively at the scene of a disaster and in the disaster recovery within the scope of their respective roles and duties," close quote, within the scope of the MOU. Generally, the MOU sets the parameters of the partnership between the ARRL and the Red Cross to provide assistance to communities affected by disasters. It calls upon both organizations to encourage and maintain open lines of communication at the state and local levels, sharing current data regarding disasters, situational and operational reports, changes in policy or personnel, and any information pertaining to disaster preparedness, response, and recovery. For its part, the League will encourage Aries units to engage in discussions with local Red Cross entities to develop plans for local response or disaster relief operations. The Red Cross will encourage its field units to engage in discussions with the ARRL field organization to develop plans for local response or disaster relief. Facilitating this is a statement of cooperation to provide methods of cooperation between the two organizations on the local level in providing services to communities during or after a disaster event, as well as other services for which cooperation may be mutually beneficial. The new MOU also clarifies that Aries volunteers assisting the Red Cross, but not registered as Red Cross volunteers, do not have to undergo a prior background check. Radio amateurs who do register as Red Cross volunteers, though, must abide by the Red Cross's background check requirement. Then ARRL President K. Craigie, N3KN, signed the MOU on behalf of the League on January 7th. The American Red Cross Senior Vice President of Disaster Cycle Services, Richard Reed, signed for the American Red Cross on January 22nd. Aries Report Forms Training Webinar. Mike Corey, KI1U, the ARRL Emergency Preparedness Manager, tells us the ARRL headquarters will be offering a training session for Aries Emergency Coordinators, District Emergency Coordinators, and Section Emergency Coordinators on how Aries report forms are filled out and submitted and how the information is used. The training webinar will be held on Tuesday, March 1, 2016, from 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. Eastern Time. The webinar will be recorded and made available online. All ECs, DECs, and SECs are encouraged to participate. Colorado Exercise Deep Freeze. Colorado is no stranger to snow. In October 1997, a devastating blizzard hit the state, resulting in several deaths, many stranded motorists, and more people in need of help. On Saturday, January 9, 2016, the El Paso County Office of Emergency Management, OEM, held the exercise Deep Freeze 16 in conjunction with the Colorado National Guard, American Red Cross, Salvation Army, and other agencies to practice a response to an October 97 type of event. At the invitation of the Red Cross, amateur radio operators from Region 2, District 2 of the Colorado Section Amateur Radio Emergency Service set up alternate communications between the Red Cross shelter and the County Emergency Operations Center. Two Pikes Peak Aries members were dual-hatted as County Special Communication Unit personnel and operated the radios in the EOC, while another Aries member worked at the shelter. These operators used VHF-FM radios to establish simplex voice and data communication. They demonstrated to the shelter manager, Red Cross EOC liaison, and the OEM the ability to digitally pass incident command system forms, such as the ICS-213. Jimmy Jenkins, the Red Cross EOC liaison for the exercise, said digital messaging capability is a tremendous tool, and using it in the exercise helped me learn how best to work it in with our liaison training. Participating in the exercise were Fred Kendall, KD0TKR, Bob Nuttleman, K0FYI, and John Bloodgood, KD0SFY. Thanks to John Bloodgood, KD0SFY, the EC and Public Information Officer for Region 2, District 2 for Colorado Aries or Pikes Peak Aries for this report. It's time now to take a short break in order to allow repeaters to identify. Stand by, we'll be right back. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for February 17, 2016. Ohio Aries helps in water problem. Flint, Michigan isn't the only area with water problems due to high lead content. Starting the week of January 18th, approximately 8,100 customers of Sebring, Ohio Water were notified that they too had problems with high lead content in their drinking water. On January 22nd, both Ohio and Mahoning County Emergency Management Agencies began passing out bottled water in Sebring. Mahoning County Aries Emergency Coordinator Wes Boyd, W8IZC, activated Aries to assist. Response on the workday was low, but a handful of Aries volunteers was able to respond. According to Mr. Boyd, EMA and Red Cross were overjoyed that radio operators came to work not needing a radio. Aries volunteers joined others in moving and distributing water supplies. Another call was put out for the weekend, where more water was to be distributed. This is a perfect example of being ready to serve in whatever capacity we can in order to help our communities. Sometimes it doesn't involve only operating a radio. Thanks to Stan Broadway, N8BHL, the Ohio Section Emergency Coordinator, for this report. Tips: Public Safety Tools, Excellent Resources for Aries. The Interoperable Communications Technical Assistance Program of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security's Office of Emergency Communications publishes a repository of numerous resources for auxiliary emergency communicators. Most are of direct interest to Ares Races and other amateur emergency communications groups, including the New Auxiliary Communications Field Operations Guide, or AUXFOG. The publication is a reference for auxiliary communicators who directly support backup emergency communications for state and local public safety entities or for an amateur radio organization supporting public safety. This reference guide contains information about AUXCOM best practices, frequently used radio frequencies, and mutual aid channels. It also contains tips and suggestions about auxiliary emergency communicators integrating into a NIMS ICS environment to support communications for planned events or incidents. It can serve as a reference both for auxiliary emergency communicators and public safety communications professionals. Take a look at www.publicsafetytools.info/auxfog. And public safety tools is all one word with no spaces. AUXFOG is spelled AUXFOG. So let me repeat that URL. It is www.publicsafetytools.info/auxfog. Public safety tools is all one word, no spaces, and AUXFOG is spelled AUXFOG. Thanks to Rick Palm, K1CE, for this information. Now, an essay. I don't get no respect. Mark Richards, K1MGY of Littleton, Massachusetts, wrote, Rodney Dangerfield once said, Last Christmas I got no respect. In my stocking, I got an odor eater. Well, I arrived at a certain public service event for the first time, and I found our team organizer absent. We had been instructed to arrive at 6:30 a.m. He arrived at 7:30 a.m., and unprepared and scrambling. He offered no apology, explanation, or guidance. I then realized our fate as volunteers was tied to an unfolding human disaster. Those of us who gave up a Saturday and arrived on time had been standing around, shivering, checking our calendar, and checking our watches. What we should have been checking was a plan. What was our mission and role? To whom do we report? Not even cursory answers were provided by our leader. One frequent volunteer told me, he's always like this. Just work around him and make lemonade from the lemon. Still, I couldn't get the phrase, I got no respect, out of my head. Cables lacking proper connectors and no mains power hampered this setup of net control. I would have thrown a life ring, but he was totally unapproachable. Amidst all the foundering, he exhibited a strutting self-importance, guffawing with a small-minded group of enablers and ignoring the rest of us. The rest of us decided to stick it out, to offer what we could to the event officials, staff, and volunteers. I befriended volunteers at a water stop who didn't expect me, nor had any idea what my role was. But I enjoyed the day cheering everyone on while I resolved to dial 911 should we need help. The net control station was useless. Fast forward to the present. With considerable experience as a volunteer and now as a leader, I have cemented in me the importance of approaching each and every volunteer with the greatest of respect and appreciation. It means not just showing up on time, but paving the way for success long before the event morning briefing. I tell my teams that a successful amateur radio effort on event day is a reflection of many months of pre-event communications. Our mission and role should be no mystery to the organization we are serving. We need to abandon the often seen and never loved know-it-all attitude and approach event officials and other volunteers as our teachers. We are there for them, not us. With every event served, up your game. If you're in a position of authority, remember that you represent not only yourself, but all of us. Don't blow it. Aim high, and our unique and valuable amateur radio service will greatly benefit, and so will you. Thank you, Mark, for your essay. I hope we all learn from your comments. Well, it's time once again to take a short pause. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for February 17, 2016, and I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. Please let us know if your repeater is airing the audio version of the ARRL e-letter by sending an email to kz3ab@arrl.net. Please include the day, time, location, repeater call sign, frequency, and any sponsoring club. That email address again is kz3ab@arrl.net. Thank you for your support. And now, more news. Letters, more tips for net controllers. Sherry Brower, W4STB, the ARRL Southern Florida Public Information Officer, wrote, "I would like to add a few net control tips to those posted in last month's issue. Remember the 10-minute identification rule. It is not enough to identify with your call sign at the beginning and end of the net, especially when nets often run over 20 minutes. Announce the name of the net several times during the net. An easy way to announce it is when you are calling the next list of check-ins. Remember, operators who are tuning around or who arrive after the beginning of the net will have no idea what net they are listening to and whether it is an open net if the name and type of check-in is not frequently announced. Thank you, Sherry, for those important tips. Model Emergency Communication Plan for a Retirement Community. Royal Harbor is a gated retirement community of 750 homes located in the town of Tavares, Florida, in Lake County, 40 miles north of Orlando. This area features 2,000 lakes, of which 1,400 have names. It is also Florida's hill country, with gently rolling hills, uncharacteristic of the flatland areas of most of Florida. Hurricanes and tornadoes are not unusual to Lake County. In 2007, a tornado killed several people and caused much damage. In 2004, the county was visited by 4 hurricanes. 5 years ago, the Royal Harbor Amateur Radio Club adopted an emergency ham radio program called Neighborhood Ham Watch. The idea behind the program was to provide emergency communications to the outside world through amateur radio operators who lived in Royal Harbor. The amateur radio operators decided to prepare an emergency disaster communications plan for the retirement community. The first Royal Harbor Communications Disaster Plan was presented to the Royal Harbor Homeowners Association Board of Directors in October 2012. After board approval, it became part of Royal Harbor's overall disaster plan. The plan makes clear from the very beginning that the members are to first ensure that their own families are safe and secure before the rest of the plan is executed. In the event of a hurricane, tornado, or severe thunderstorm warning, members will already be on the area Aries frequency, 147.255 MHz, as part of a Skywarn net, with the operation being easily converted to the activation of the disaster plan. An amateur radio-equipped operator will be dispatched to the Homeowners Association office to provide a link to the net and or the Lake County EOC in Tavares, Florida. Under our Plan A, an amateur radio operator will be assigned as the net control station from his or her home and will maintain contact with the EOC. The amateur radio operator may be using generator or battery backup power. The net control station operator will conduct the net of other Royal Harbor amateurs using another simplex frequency. the operator at the Royal Harbour office will remain in contact with the net via the simplex link. One operator will be a D-Star link, while another is on HF, in order to lend mode and frequency range diversity. All Royal Harbour emergency operators will have VHF and UHF capabilities in their personal vehicles if needed for mobile assignments. When it's safe to do so, the net control station may be moved to the lighthouse for better height above average terrain. The repeater located in the lighthouse may be powered by a club generator. Staffing critical locations will be conducted on a rotating basis. Recruitment of additional operators from outside the Royal Harbour area may be necessary if the incident continues for more than 72 hours. There is an agreement for mutual aid with the Lake County Amateur Radio Association. Our Plan B calls for the net control station to be located in the Royal Harbour Homeowners Association office, as well as other changes. Amateur radio operators should be available for deployment within Royal Harbour with mobile or portable radios for damage assessments. And Plan C allows for more modifications to the plan and operation as conditions dictate. ARES will also maintain the ability to contact contiguous county EOCs under other plans. These plans work well for this Florida retirement community and may be used as a model for other communities, expanded or contracted based on size and the ARES population of operators. Develop your own communications plan before it's too late. Thanks to Ted Lubbers, K1AYZ, the Lake County, Florida ARES Public Information Officer, for this information and your suggestion. We hope all homeowners associations and retirement communities around the country take note. It's time once again to take a short pause. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is the ARRL ARES Audio E-Letter for February 17, 2016. And our last story is Windstorm Damages San Diego Baja Amateur High-Speed Data Facilities. A serious windstorm with gusts of 100 miles per hour in the San Diego and Baja, Mexico area at the end of January caused major damage to the Radio Club of Baja California, CREBC, in Tijuana, Mexico, just south of the U.S.-Mexico border. Many San Diego ARES members use the facilities for that repeater and packet communications, as do mariners heading down the coast of Baja. The Microwave Communications Backbone Emergency Group High Data Rate Emergency Network of San Diego, or HDRENS, connects over a 50 to 100 megabit per second 12-mile path to the CREBC Cardenas Tower. The CREBC Tower was felled by the storm. Mike Burton, XE2-N6KZB, and CREBC Officer Juan Tellez, XE2SI, started repairs as soon as the storm passed. It took 3 to 4 days to get the systems back up and running. The Cardenas 80-foot tower was exposed on a high ridgeline above Playas de Tijuana and was a Canadian-made freestanding type with a broad base. It was installed 27 years ago and supported antennas for 2 ubiquity 5 GHz links. The CREBC UHF repeater, an area police repeater, 3 commercial customer systems, UHF and VHF links, a 145.09 MHz repeater, and area fire department repeaters. Sometime in the early morning, when the gusts were strongest, 2 of the tower's 3 legs gave way and the tower collapsed. Corrosion was a contributing factor. Club members and fire and police personnel teamed up to get all systems back in service, place antennas on a lower structure, and remove the tower. Despite the lower elevation, all systems functioned well, and a new tower may not be needed. The fast response just shows that amateurs and public safety professionals can work together when needed in the public interest. Thanks for this report to Mike Burton, XE2/N6KZB, and Ed Sack, W3NRG of San Diego Aries. And that concludes the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for February 17, 2016. The ARRL Aries Audio e-letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The ARRL Aries Audio e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries e-letter, compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE, in Daytona Beach, Florida. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, visit us on the web at ARRL.org. You may also find us on Facebook or Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have any questions about amateur radio or the ARRL, you may also write us via snail mail at ARRL, 225 Main Street, Newington, Connecticut, 06111. Our thanks to this month's contributors. My audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB in Laurel, Maryland. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. Copyright 2016 ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved. Thanks for listening, and 73.